Hi, I'm Sophie, and this is Age Well with Dr. Sophie Schotter, a space devoted to all things health, wellness, and longevity. Because for me, aging well is about looking and feeling like the best possible version of ourselves, inside as well as out. So together with my producer, Fee, I'll be deep diving into the latest research, sifting fact from fiction. I'll also be talking to all kinds of trusted experts, tapping into their knowledge, along with bringing you conversations from a range of interesting women and men, finding out how they age well. So, this is my show. Welcome along. And as always, thank you so much for listening. Sarah, you have a fabulous skincare range in addition to your flagship clinic, Skin Assist, in Chelsea. Like me, you've seen all the big skincare trends. Some have stuck and some, in my view, quite rightly, haven't. So what are the skincare must-haves that you feel have stood the test of time in terms of either ingredients or protocols? For example, at the end of last year, we had a great chat with Professor Mark Birch Machin, who's a specialist in molecular dermatology, and he mentioned niacinamide. But what are the ingredients that you just feel work and always have?
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. It's such a pleasure to be here and chat to you both. Well, firstly, I think it's important to say that we're never trend-led. I'm very specific about that. And it's a real core principle for me because I've spent sort of 25 years or so treating hands-on in my clinic, and I've seen so many fads come and go. So what I'm really interested in is long-term skin health and kind of evidence-based results and respecting the skin. But the ingredients that I would come back to sort of over and over again are the ones that have really been proven with true regenerative power, like retinoids, for example. And they're kind of unrivaled really for skin, aren't they, in terms of the data behind them and really encouraging cell turnover, stimulating collagen, improving skin tone, texture, etc. I'm also a big believer in antioxidants to really help to fight against oxidative stress and support sort of skin health against the environment, and peptides, which I know people are sort of talking about a lot more now again, but they've obviously been around for a long time. And we've used them since I launched my first products in 2008, but you can see lots of data behind them. And there are lots of different ones that have a slightly different effect on the skin, but you can really see the difference. And I probably say that lastly, in terms of ingredients, I'm a big fan of omegas. So whether taken internally as fish oils and things or put externally in products onto the skin to really support sort of cell structure and hold moisture in the skin. So those would be probably the key ingredients that I would look for. And it's also about biological compatibility and the long-term skin integrity so that we're working in sync with the skin's sort of own intelligence rather than choosing something that's the latest buzz, which could come and then could disappear. You know, I think about sort of years ago when microdermabrasion was such a big trend in clinic and everybody was asking for it. And I was quite new with my facials, I think, at that point. But I refused to buy a microdermabrasion machine and do those treatments because I just didn't believe in it. And so I had to turn a lot of people away. So I think it's about really understanding what's sort of evidence-based and right for you and fits within your philosophy. And I'm sure you would kind of feel the same, that we see so many things come and go, don't we?
Yeah. And like you, trends, I don't think are a good thing in this space.
No. And I think you've got to sort of distinguish what's kind of marketing and what's the latest fad as opposed to what's real.
And Sarah, hello. First of all, it's a pleasure to chat to you because I've had some of your skincare on my shelf for years and years. So it's really lovely to chat to you. And I love your last answer. Are there any specific new or under the radar ingredients or technologies that you're excited about? So we've mentioned peptides and, you know, we had a great chat with Alex Steinherr recently about peptides. So you've been using them for a long time, as you've said. Are there any, because I still don't really get peptides, are there newer ones or any other new ingredients or tech that you are excited about?
Yes, always. I think there's always a lot of innovation happening in skincare, particularly in the last 5 to 10 years. I launched my product 16 years ago. So much has changed in that time. And I think that what I look at a lot now is less ingredient specific, but actually delivery systems and technologies. So how can we communicate intelligently with the skin? And there is so much more advancement in terms of delivery systems and encapsulations. How do you get the ingredients into the skin to be more bioavailable, to be utilized more? And then with that, obviously having a much better effect on the skin. So for me, I think that's probably one of the biggest advancements. And we talk a lot about the difference between kind of traditional formulations. So looking at some of our formulations or lots of others where we're using ingredients in a traditional way, sitting within the emulsion bases and how we're delivering those into the skin versus a traditional encapsulation, which is really protecting those ingredients from breaking down in the formula or too quickly when they hit the skin, versus what we've used more recently, which is actually encapsulation delivery systems, where it actually takes the ingredients through the surface of the skin and delivers it to where you need it. So we've been working quite a lot with pharmaceutical drug delivery systems. So with laboratories which traditionally are working more with drug as opposed to cosmetic, to see how we can get some of the ingredients that we all know really have an effect on the skin, bypassing the skin barrier and actually deeper into the skin. So that sort of technology in skincare is changing so much, and I think is fascinating and I think is moving forward. But I'm also quite interested in this whole trend of exosomes, which I think we're still very new to in terms of skincare. We know that they're those kind of nano-sized vesicles and they can act as messengers and they can really work to stimulate collagen, repair the skin, etc. But we use them a lot in our clinic treatments, sort of post lasers and some of the more advanced treatments that we do. But we don't use them actually in our skincare formulations yet. But I've been talking a lot to some of the research chemists and they say what we've got now is good, but there's some really interesting new exosome technology being worked on by the raw material suppliers that we'll start to see within the next year or so. And also exosomes, quite interestingly, I was at a wellness spa and I had some exosomes injected into my neck because I get quite a sort of stiff, sore neck, probably all the facials I've done over the years. And also some of it IV with some antioxidants, and it really helped. So I think there's the medical space of exosomes, and I'm interested to see how it really converts into skincare.
Yeah, I agree. It's an interesting emerging area to be watching, isn't it? We've seen you talk in interviews about skin health longevity. What are your thoughts around this push towards understanding the skin microbiome? And has new thinking here changed your mind about your exfoliation approach in any way?
It's an important conversation, I think. And when we think about skin health and longevity, and we talk about this a lot, because I think back to lots of my clients who I've treated now for maybe 20 years. If I'd done things to their skin in those first 5 years that were just giving me quick, instant results, then potentially their skin wouldn't be in as good a state as it is now. So that really looking towards the future and ensuring your skin and looking after skin health and longevity is really key. And the microbiome obviously is that sort of foundation layer of skin health. So it's protective. The microbes are acting on the immune system, inflammation and communicating in the skin. And it's a bit like I was saying earlier, I never really took on the microdermabrasion route because I thought that sort of disrespected the skin and was a bit more of a sort of skin punishment. And so I think the consciousness about skin microbiome means we're thinking a lot more about that, the barrier repair and how we're sort of really protecting the skin on that sort of basis, whether it's through stressful times or if people have done things to their skin that they've had reactions to or seasonal changes. And we also look at how we can create emulsions and formulas that are like lamellar structures, so they're compatible with the skin so much because they mimic the skin layers, and looking at how the gut, the skin, the brain axis, the connection between all of those and the microbiome in the gut, we know there's so much more of a connection within us now. So we're constantly sort of looking at that and looking at how to get the exfoliation that we need on the skin, but doing it in a much more controlled, intelligent way, which is why I've always used more acids or retinoids in a very gentle way to get exfoliation, not really scrubs or physical particles, because I think they can destroy quite a lot of what's going on the surface of the skin.
Completely agree. I'm all about the acids, but again, doesn't necessarily have to be harsh.
Yeah.
There's some amazing gentler options, aren't there?
Yeah, you can see a real difference with them. It doesn't need to be hugely powerful and inflammatory on the skin. You can do little and often and see incredible results. The other thing that I really focus on is not sacrificing experience for efficacy, whether that's in a facial or whether it's with a formula. So texture, smell, pleasure, they all matter as much as the results. So we're sort of really committed to this sensorial science, if that makes sense.
And I think that's very rare to find in effective skincare, to find products that really work and have science behind them that are also a joy to use.
I think that's true. And that was really my absolute focus at the beginning. I'd worked with lots of kind of, you know, doctor-y led brands that were great in performance, but just lacked the beauty of some of the late, maybe the French aromatherapeutic brands. And I sort of wanted to put all that together because I really think that when you use a product, you want to get the result for your skin, but you also want to enjoy the experience. When somebody comes for a treatment, sometimes they'll walk in and they'll really want something that's very targeted for skin result. But quite often they'll walk in and within 5 minutes of consultation, you realize actually they need nurturing, touch, smell, and they need to walk out feeling better about themselves. So it's so in synergy, those two things together. I don't think they can be separated.
I'm working my way through the range, and what I find interesting is that you've really evolved your skincare products beyond the heroes we came to know you for. I'm intrigued by the ingredients. So the stem cell elixir has these collagen boosting peptides and growth factors. You've even got a retinoic like tripeptide for deeper skin damage, as well as visible signs of aging. And this is great again, because we talk quite a lot about peptides actually in skincare and how underrated they are. I think they're only just emerging as something that many professionals, let alone consumers, are really intrigued by. I also love that you, for example, get people to freshly mix your stem cell collagen activator with this proprietary delivery system using, again, really sophisticated peptides, but also various botanical stem cells. Can you give us a quick overview of the range and hone in on maybe your three bestsellers?
Yes, sure. Interesting products you picked there as well. That's because you're interested in the same kind of ingredients as me, because we know they work. So, I mean, my brand really, and when we're talking about products, we kind of, if we look at it overall, we sit where kind of advanced science, sensorial luxury, and then clinical expertise unite. So it's those, all those elements. And we sort of say we look after you and your skin by focusing on the physiological and psychological aspects of skin health. We mentioned earlier, actually, in terms of peptides, we've been using those since my very first products that I launched in 2008. So it's interesting that they're now becoming quite a buzz. And if I look at the range, we don't focus on sort of skin type, we focus on skin condition. So you don't sort of find a range for oily skin, a range for dry skin, etc., in the kind of classic skincare way. We're much more about your skin changes, it evolves day to day, month to month, year to year. And you've got to cherry pick really and sort of customize your routine. But we talk about sticking to cleansing and prepping, serums, elixirs and moisturizers. And of course, you need SPF as well. So my three top products, interestingly, are three of the very first ones that I launched in 2008. So the product that I'm most known for is something called Overnight Facial, which was one of the first products we launched. And ever since we launched has been the number one hero product. And it's essentially, it gets described as 8 hours sleep in a bottle. It's where I was using eight or so different products in a treatment to massage, I created Overnight Facial to encompass all of those actives, including retinoids, peptides, vitamins, but also lots of omega oils and plant-based oils. So that real fusion of the science and the botanical to give you that facial massage in a treatment room. And then it's about how can you do that at night so it works for you while you sleep. And that one really, I think, represents the sensorial science perfectly because it smells and feels amazing, but it also really delivers results on the skin. So Overnight Facials are number one. Second is Ultimate Cleanse, which is a sort of luxurious balm to oil cleanser. Completely melts makeup, even over your eyes, removes sort of pollution and SPS, but it really starts your cell receptors to start thinking about the kinds of ingredients that are coming in serums. We've got Damaxyl peptide in here. You've got skin brighteners. You've got lots of things that start those processes of communication. And cleansing, we know, certainly as facial therapists or skincare experts are so important, cleansing, to get that right. Because if you strip the skin, your skin's constantly trying to correct itself. So ultimate cleanse is probably our number two. And then eye recovery, I would say, if I was picking a third product, because for me, it's one of the few eye creams that really multitasks. When I developed it, again, right at the beginning, there was products that could target dark circles, products that would target lines, and ones that would do sort of bags under the eyes. And always looking at people and myself and thinking, well, we've all got a combination of all of it. We don't generally just have one. So I created Eye Recovery with 6 different peptides and also other technologies to really target all of those signs of tiredness or aging or whatever around the eyes. And that has stayed one of our most popular products as well. So Overnight Facial, Ultimate Cleanse and Eye Recovery, I would say, were the three for me that are those kind of real bestsellers and heroes.
And we're going to link into all of this in the show notes because the range is just beautiful. And I was lucky enough to have a facial at the clinic earlier on this year at Skinesis. And I know, Sophie, you're booked in too. I have become obsessed with your Rapid Radiance Cleanser. And it's so interesting what you were saying about the senses, because what I first noticed during the facial was how utterly magical it smells. It's so beautiful. And then the therapist explained that it contains a blend of these clays and lactic and salicylic acids, and that I could even use it as a mask. So I love how that product multitasks. But what also struck me about my treatment was how personalised it was. So, for example, the therapist recommended a bit of LED to calm the redness, which really did help. And I think people often underestimate or underrate facials, and I wondered what your views were on that. And yours too, Sophie, in terms of people underrating the power of a really good facial.
I think that's really interesting. I mean, facials are becoming more and more popular, I think, to when I started many years ago. I think when I started, people would have a facial often as a treat. Now it's become much more of part of your well-being, looking after your skin, preserving your skin, as we're also becoming more and more conscious about doing that with our bodies and the complete sort of wellness piece. But facials can really transform two ways, the skin, but also the way that people feel. And I think that connection between your skin and looking good and feeling good and confidence are so key. So again, it talks about the psychological and physiological. I really believe in that when somebody comes for a treatment, because they might walk in feeling really depleted or anxious or sad or kind of just disconnected. And an hour or an hour and a half of focused sort of touch and time is something we don't get anywhere else in life, really, because it's so busy. And people can get up and leave the room feeling like a completely different person. And of course, we're also looking at skin and what we need to do for that in terms of its sort of skin health, glow, moisture, if we're treating pigmentation, breakouts, any of those sorts of things as well. So not just the kind of the well-being and pampering aspect. Facials, of course, can vary from simple to very technological as well.
Yeah, I echo everything you've said. I love having my face touched. To take the time to do that for yourself in amongst a busy life, as you said, combined with amazing skill and product to really get some lovely results for your skin. I actually just today was filming an Instagram reel about the one treatment I'd have in the lead up to big event, and it was a facial because a facial can be tailored to absolutely everyone and absolutely every skin, and that can't be said of many things.
I think that's true. And that very bespoke approach is something that we really believe in. We sort of train our therapists to think like sort of skin strategists. It's not just a protocol and a process. It's really very bespoke, very targeted, whether you're looking at them from a skin perspective or a behavioural perspective.
My therapist was amazing, and she also very kindly gave me a goodie bag with some samples, and I have to say I'm in love with the whole range. As it turns out, it's my younger daughter. She has sensitive skin and she's been stealing the Comfort Cream De-Stress, so I need to get that back off her. And I wanted to say that the Vitamin C Power One has given me the most beautiful glow. And also, because I'm particularly interested in protecting my barrier function, your R&R Glow Recovery Cream has had an almost instant calming effect. So I don't have any questions. I just wanted to say thank you for reintroducing me to the range, in terms of I knew some of the range, but the newer stuff I didn't know. So I just wanted to say thank you, because the facial was great, but also the samples were great too.
Oh, thank you. That's really lovely to hear. Thank you.
So here's a big one. What's your daily routine, morning and evening? And are there any hero products or also brands outside of your own that you regularly use?
I have quite a simple routine, actually, but I obviously have the pleasure of having almost my entire range in the bathroom cabinet. So I tend to sort of customize and choose depending on how my skin's feeling. But my kind of core products that I would put on for skincare in the morning are Stem Cell Collagen Activator, the one you mentioned earlier, actually, Sophie, that has the separate stem cells that you break in. So it's super powerful, rejuvenating. I also use another serum called Age Repair Concentrate and then Dynamic Defense Concentrate on top, which is the moisturizer, and Skin Insurance Tinted, which is my sort of layer of SPF protection. And I'll also use eye recovery, which we just talked about, around the eyes. So I tend to cocktail serums because depending on how the skin is, I like to sort of focus and target those. And then it's moisture protection and obviously treating the eyes. I don't really use other skincare unless it's something specific or I'm testing something. I might use, say, the XOE range if I've had some laser or something in clinic. And so I'm using the exosomes from XOE as that kind of preparation or post-intensive treatments. And then really I use other body products with when I'm at home. So because we don't do a body range, so I use like a lactic acid body lotion from Environ called Dermalac. And then I'll use a body cream. And honestly, I'm quite fickle with that. It just depends what I've got. At the moment, I've got a real mix because I've got a La Mer body cream, a beautiful big pot of rich cream. And then I've also got some Naturium body lotion, which is really moisturizing. So I tend to be a bit more flexy with body, but on the face, I stick to pretty much my own. And that would be my sort of morning skincare. And then makeup wise, I tend to, again, use a variety of brands, but I'm using quite a lot of Westman, Victoria Beckham and Hermes at the moment, which are all really nice, beautiful makeup to use. But I keep that quite light. And I don't know if it's interesting as well. I have my morning routine food wise is I tend to make like a miso broth at the beginning of the week. And every morning, the first thing I eat is miso soup, which is quite unusual. But I kind of got that from a spa visit years ago. And actually, it's really nourishing and it makes you feel really good. So that's sort of in the morning. I drink a lot of water. And then in the evening, I've always got a 2-liter water bottle with me, which everybody laughs at in the office. In the evening, I use Ultimate Cleanse to wash everything off, which literally, even if I've been doing something where I'm wearing a lot of makeup, it will just melt it. But your skin still feels hydrated and supple and bright. And then again, I'll put like Stem Cell Collagen Activator and then the overnight facial on. So I tend to stick to fairly simple routine, but I might switch that out for Icon Night, which is our retinaldehyde cream at certain points. So I tend to flex about. And then before bed, I always take, I don't know if you take supplement wise, but I always take magnesium before I go to bed. And I've recently been using the Rescue Remedy drops. They've got a night one, which I bought a little while ago. And I definitely think I get a different sort of dreamy sleep when I take those. So I kind of tend to do that as my last thing, sort of well-being wise, before I go to bed.
I love all these. I'm going to be writing down all these tips, especially the miso in the morning. Thank you so much for that. And this next one is a pretty tabloidy question, so apologies. But your celeb fans range from the Beckhams to Meghan Markle. And we know that you prepared Meghan and her skin before her wedding. Can you let us know what you did or what you focused on? Because, of course, she looked beautiful, didn't she?
She did look amazing, yeah. I mean, we don't normally talk about what we specifically do on people, but actually really quite simple because Meghan's got a very sort of natural approach to skincare. So I was with her the night before the wedding, so at the hotel, and a lot of all the products, great massage, which we talked about, that very hands-on facial, LED. But I was able to do layering and layering of serums and leave them overnight. So that's why the skin looks so dewy and plumped up. So all the drainage, all the massage, all of the treatment that we did. But then the fact that all of those products were left on to sleep overnight. So we really have the privilege of treating a lot of very high profile people. And most of them, it's not really out in the public domain. And everybody has different kind of needs. And it almost when we look at our customer base, we have a sort of group of people, they've got to look good for particular events or occasions, will be a different treatment to what we would do if we were looking after somebody who didn't need to do that, because what we need to do is get the skin to the glowiest, dewiest, sort of tightest, plumpest that we can for a photo shoot or for filming or for something like a wedding. So we tend to use hands a lot in those cases, and also the technologies of the products with some LED, which I just feel kicks the skin into that sort of extra level of radiance.
And you mentioned makeup a little while ago. Can you talk us through your desert island makeup? I mean, you mentioned brands, but products. Like, what would be your top three makeup products that you rate?
So top three things that I would kind of have all the time. I use a very lightweight sort of foundation-y base that's almost like a complete liquid from Chanel, which was part of their Vita Lumiere range, but I think they've discontinued it, annoyingly. So I'm trialing at the moment another one, which is called Le Beige, which is very similar. So it's almost like putting something on which still looks like your skin and doesn't look like makeup. And I think that's really important. I'm not looking to cover anything up. I'm just looking to get that sort of glow. And if I don't have that, I'll just put our tinted skin insurance on. I recently went away actually for a short trip, 4 days or so, and I took with me one makeup item, which actually ended up being really versatile. And it was a Victoria Beckham stick. I can't remember what it was called, but it was a sort of slightly pink, peachy blusher type stick. And I put it on my lips, I put it on my cheeks, and I put a wash of it just across the eyelid with no other makeup. And I did that sort of every night for going out, because we were away in Greece. And it was an amazingly versatile product to do without any other makeup with me. And then I would probably say I would always have something on my lips. My lips would tend to get dry. So if I'm away sort of in the sunshine, I really like the SPF Ultraviolet, which is a tinted sort of pink. I've got the pink one. It's a pink sort of lip gloss with an SPF in it. But if I'm choosing sort of makeup, it's generally fairly simple. And if my general day to day would be a very light base, a little bit of blusher, some lips and some mascara. So fairly lightweight.
We also know that when you first opened a clinic quite a few years ago now, your very first client was international royalty. You have a huge waiting list, and yet you still treat most of your original clients from back in the day. How do you manage your time?
Oh, time. That's one of those big questions, isn't it? It is a juggle, most definitely. I mean, in those very early days, I started facials at home, and then I sort of set up one room, which then became three. And then I moved to my clinic, and now sort of running this big clinic and then also the product range. But actually, I still see some of my clients that used to come and see me in my lounge at home from like a one bedroom flat. And I love seeing those clients because they all become friends. They know me so well. They'll see my team in between if I can't make an appointment with them. But I also feel like these clients are really my community, and without them, I wouldn't have my brand. So I think it's really important to keep space in sort of my business life for them. And I really do that. So finding the balance is challenging. I flick between the product business office into the clinic. But I think you just need to be structured. But I'm also quite protective of my own time, because I think if you don't manage to do that balance of everything, then you can't do any of it very well. So I somehow have found a way to just about juggle it all.
I totally feel you. I think it's one of the toughest things to get right, is that happy balance somewhere in the middle. Switching gears slightly, and what's your wider approach to wellness? For example, are there any therapies or practitioners in your little black book?
Yes, I'm really interested in the whole wellness piece, and especially what's happening in terms of the longevity space and how people are approaching everything now. So this is very much kind of on my radar in terms of wellness, stress, gut health, sleep. It's not necessarily just about skincare, it's the whole piece. So I have quite a few practitioners that I really like. I see a functional medicine doctor on a regular basis. Probably done that for about 3 or 4 years. So we constantly check in on bloods. She's created a sort of complex of blood tests that tests like 100 biomarkers. They're looking at sort of everything in your body. So I do that and then adjust supplementation, etc., to be at my optimum health. I went to Shah Wellness last year, and actually I've been there maybe 12 years ago to the one in Spain, but I went to the New Mexico one. And I love that for a real well-being escape. Ross Bar for acupuncture is fantastic. You always hear people raving about him. I recently also went to a place called Nico Health, which is a new diagnostic centre in London where they probably took about half an hour, and they do multiple different health tests on you. And then they give you a consultation at the end with all the blood reports and everything done literally while you're there. And that was really fascinating. And it gives you just an insight into how your body is in terms of its state at the time and how you're metabolizing things, etc. And then I think fitness obviously is key. I don't get enough time to do it. And I know that's a really bad excuse. So I kind of set myself up at home with my Peloton and weights. And I figure even if I can only pick the weights up and do 20 something and then run out the door, it's better than nothing. But I did recently do a stint at the Lanzerhof gym in town, which was brilliant, with some personal trainers, and really just looking at how do you, you know, as you're getting older, really build that muscle mass, look at what to focus on, look at what sort of weights you should be lifting to get the muscle kind of strength, but not obviously muscle building. So I really rate them in terms of really sort of resetting you and putting you onto the right path. So I think I'm always been very interested in the well-being part, but even more so now as we're all sort of aging and looking at how we can optimize our health.
And you touched on supplements. Can you just give us a quick run through of your supplement stack, specifically in terms of specific brands and products? And also, who is your functional medicine doctor? I'm intrigued.
My functional medicine doctor is a lady called Dr. Miriam Makiki. She's sort of privately practices, but she may be coming to do some stuff with us, actually. I'm meeting her to film some things for Instagram next week because I just think she's got such an incredible knowledge. I want to be able to sort of share that with people. So that's who I see for my functional medicine. And supplements, I take Bare Biology Omegas every day, which I've always taken fish oils, omegas. I think they're so critical for so many things, and especially for skin. And I really like theirs. I take different magnesium supplements at night. I've got the Bare Biology ones. I've also got a couple of others, which I can't remember what those are at the moment. And in the daytime, at the moment, I'm taking some B12 and also the Nuchido. So the NAD plus supplements, I'm taking those at the moment. And also have quite a lot of different powders and supplements. I'll sort of chop in and change depending on what I'm feeling like. And then I have the core sort of more medical prescribed ones from Dr. Miriam.
Let's move into our quick fire round of questions. Can you recommend a spa?
Oh, yes. I'd say I can do a few. I'd say in London, Claridge's Spa is lovely, and that's where I see Ross for acupuncture. Out of town, I would say Limewood Hotel, and I highly recommend them because actually we've worked with them for probably 7 years, and the skill set of the spa team, the therapists, and the professionalism is fantastic, as well as it being a beautiful place to go and stay for a few days. And then internationally, as I mentioned, Shah Wellness, I'm a big fan of. So sort of London, Claridge's, Limewood out of town, and further afield, Shah. They would be my three choices.
Limewood is somewhere I've been lucky enough to go a few times, and I love it there as well.
It's gorgeous.
And can you recommend anything sleep or bedtime related, whether that's bath oils or candles?
I think, yeah, we've touched on a few of them already. I think one of the key things for me, and what I always recommend to people, is a really good wash the day away at the end of the day. So a good face clean with Ultimate Cleanse and application of overnight facial would be my recommendation. And my clients always say to me, every time I do it, it's like my full stop at the end of the day. Everything seems to disappear and melt away. And I love that. Then I'm also very big on no phones in the bedroom, which I don't know many people that do that, but it's always downstairs because I don't think that should be in your rest space. The magnesium supplements we talked about, pillow sprays sometimes. There's a Olverum one I've got, which smells really nice to just create that space for you. And I love the, I don't know if you've ever tried them, but the space masks, the sort of self-heating masks. Yeah. I think if you're just really sort of super tired, you've got a bit of a headache, well, you put them on and as it gradually heats, you gradually sort of drift off into your space of sleep. And I'm big for having windows open so you've got fresh air in the bedroom.
besides family and friends, tell us about a woman who you admire.
It's such a funny question, this one. I often get asked this, and I really find it difficult to think of one particular person because there are so many. There are so many in history that we can talk about who kind of went against tradition, broke the rules, paved the way for us all today, whether you talk about Coco Chanel or whoever. So there are so many. Today, I belong to a group called By Women Built, which is all female-founded brands. So people like myself who've had a sort of an idea, a vision, and have set up a consumer goods brand of some sort, that I meet them and really admire everybody, no matter what sort of field they're in. It could be food, it could be clothes, it could be beauty. So anyone who really has managed to run a business and home while maintaining integrity, kindness, and authenticity, to me, that's really key. The people that I admire are those that do something successful, do something well, but really remain a good person at the same time.
Love that.
I love that too. And what would we never guess about you from your CV?
It's interesting. Well, I don't have a CV to start with, so I've worked for myself for too long. But if I thought about it, it would probably be, because I mentioned this to somebody recently and they were very surprised, it would probably be the fact that I was very rebellious when I was young, because everybody thinks I'm quite sensible. But actually, I was really rebellious and naughty and kicked out of school and all the things that you would be. And I used to turn up at lessons with purple streaked hair and goodness knows what else. But I now say that was my entrepreneurial spirit coming through. So that's my excuse for being a really bad child.
Breaking the mold.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Sarah. You can find more about the skincare range and the clinic by heading to www.sarahchapman.com and do follow Sarah on socials at Sarah Chapman London. Thank you so much for sharing so many gems, Sarah. It's been a joy.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
And that ends this week's podcast. If you want to find out more about me and my work, or maybe book a consultation, head to drsophieschotter.com and you can find me on socials at drsophieschotter. And again, thank you so much for listening.